Good evening. Welcome to the Wednesday, October 15th Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors meeting. We want to do call, well, Pledge of Allegiance, and I think Director Belcher, would you do that tonight? Thank you.
I pledge allegiance
To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Do we have roll call?
Roll call's been taken. Let the record show all members are present, with Director Porter and Director Graves joining remotely.
Wonderful. We will now open for public comment. If there's any public comment for anyone on the phone to start, that is to talk about something for up to 3 minutes that is not on the agenda. Do we have any hands raised?
No hands raised.
No hands raised. Okay, we will bring it back to public comment within the room. Would you please come up and state your name?
Yeah, hi, good evening. Terry Mahaney, Discovery Bay Boulevard. I don't know what's on the agenda because I don't understand all those numbers and stuff that you guys are going to talk about and everything else. But what I would like to run by you guys is the possibility of our city attorney, along with you guys, of course, writing up some kind of letter to the county, putting the county, I don't know the terminology for it, but making them liable for any kind of incident, death, injury, property, or whatever, of this apartment building going over here, and there be some kind of disaster in Discovery Bay, everybody trying to get out of here one way in and one way out. Now, I know you guys have written a letter. There's been a few other residents have written a letter, but I don't think anybody's put anybody on notice of being financially liable in case of something like that. I don't even know if you guys can do it. It's just, it's up to you if you can, if the town will go along with it. I think it'd be great. I think all the stuff has been up till now has been kind of soft. It's just like, we don't think it can be here because of the infrastructure. And that's about it. If you put a little bit of meat behind it, maybe, I don't know. That's just my thought. It's just, you know, get a little bit tougher on the thing. I know we're running out of time. It's the middle of October before they have to drop dead and make a decision. So I don't know where their middle is. I mean, we're kind of in the middle right now, but it's not supposed to be a 100% done deal as of yet, because they haven't said, okay, the way I'm reading, I don't know. But anyhow, thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to make public comment? With that, we will close public comment and go to consent calendar.
Motion to approve.
I second.
Director Belcher?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
President Couteau?
Aye.
President Graham?
Aye. Calendar passes. So nothing under MAC tonight. Presentations. Veolia, would you like to come up, Anthony?
Good evening, board. Here to present September's data for your water and wastewater system. On the, excuse me, on the first slide, we are at 821 safe working days. So we're working our number back up again. We're doing pretty good, despite the weather challenges and things like that we're doing, but we have had a heavy push for, we went through safety week last time we spoke. That was a great turnout. And then we've covered a lot of just annual trainings that are required by Cal OSHA, things like that. So far, nothing to report safety wise. On the next slide, all of your water system is running pretty well. We are slow, we're technically still in peak flow, but we are starting to see a little bit of a drop, and y'all can see that in the numbers. Newport has slowed down a little bit, which is good. That new filter one, is allowing us to push more water a little bit longer into the peak flow season and a little bit earlier in the end of peak flow season to be able to make water come through Willow to the older part of town when we need it to. So that's been a huge improvement, and you can see that by the numbers. All of the wells are active. Filter C is still out, actually physically disconnected from the water system, and well 5 is still offline waiting for physical abandonment. So, we're in usage is pretty good. No violations for drinking water this last month. So next slide. And there's your rolling trend. We're getting kind of coming back down a little bit. So if you look at September, and we highlighted it in red, we are starting to actually drop out of that peak flow out of the summer a little bit. So that's good. When we get into our maintenance for hydrant flushing, which we still owe about half of the town on hydrant, about three quarters of the town on hydrant flushing, we typically try not to do that in the summer because just in case of drought, things like that, we don't want to put a draw on the system, make the assets work too hard. At the same time, now that we're up against a little bit of rain, I don't necessarily want to accidentally flood streets, flood storm drains when we might have a storm coming right behind us. So we're being a little bit hesitant with hydrant flushing, but we're going to get on that as soon as we get a dry spell. So, next slide, please. There's your hydrant flushing. We're still in progress. Valve exercising goes along with that. We're good with consumer conference reports until next year, and lead and copper is good for a couple of years. No water violations, no coliforms, and no water customer complaints in the month of September.
Question. Mm-hmm. On the water quality complaints, how is that data derived from? Is that, phone calls to you or phone calls to the town?
Any that get to Veolia that are water quality. So if it's somebody that pay their bill or something like that, that doesn't get counted. That doesn't come to Veolia at all. If it's, even if it is a guess, if somebody would come out, re-report that it actually was a problem or it was not, we count it. We track every call that comes to us. If it was even questionable that it's water related, we come out and make sure, because folks don't always know if it is or not. And we investigate it. If it is legitimate, if we got called out for any reason, it will be on that tally. We do that, and then if we ever had to issue a bull notice or something like that, had a water leak, hydrant leak, or something that actually affected quality, the state is notified.
So as an example, if I could give you an extreme one, if I called in and said, hey, my water is blue, and you guys came out and said, no.
You got blue manganese.
Yeah, you're get new glasses. Would that constitute, though, a complaint, though?
We would respond and make sure, because there are such things that can cause water to be blue. So, yeah.
Right, but if there's no issues found,
we would still document it, yes. We responded because let's just say we didn't know what we were looking at the time, and then something comes up later. In the case, maybe somebody come up against the town for some reason, whatever. It's our job to show them, hey, this is what we did. This is why. Here's our proof. So we are to respond and protect the public. We're also to respond and protect the town as well.
Well, I think it's fantastic because I know all your reports, we don't get any, very few complaints.
That's a good thing. So, yeah, absolutely. Now, keep in mind that notification can come from the customers directly. Can come from DENA or the town. It can come from the state or the county for that matter. So sometimes people go straight to the state, and then, of course, they'll come out. But in this case, we don't have a history of that, so. Next slide. Oh, yeah, sure.
I have a question. Go ahead. I have a question when you're all done.
Okay. Wastewater. So all of the wastewater lift stations are doing well. Most of our maintenance is looking pretty good for pulling pumps and things like that. So nothing to report yet on that. And we're still waiting on new pumps to come in for lift station Y so that we can put that online, or actually test that. So. Other than that, nothing to report there. On the next slide. So there's how your wastewater system's doing. So pretty stable for September, of course, roughly about a million in daily average, a million out, pretty close to this time last year. Our Kevin or y'all's new favorite number is looking pretty good. And the old favorite number technically still under the old limit. Don't go figure, right? However, there I want to draw your attention to. There's a line item there. I remember last month I told you we had a total coliform 7-day average exceedance. And this month, or for the month of September, that is non-detect. However, if you look under that, total coliform daily max, our limit is 23, we have to be above 23 to cause a limit. We had one sample in the month of September come back as 350. That is only technically a single violation. And we pushed back on that. We double checked it with several labs, including our own, and we pushed back on the state. And what we got back from the lab is the lab samples and the type of total coliform that came through is consistent with farm dirt, farm dust. It's not consistent with fecal. Fecals were good. In this case, it wasn't even a 7-day average, 2.2, right? It was just a single hit. And it is honestly, with our system, it's almost impossible to get a 350 through the UV system and the filters we have. That's why y'all religiously see non-detect. And if you look at the numbers there at your BOD and TSS removal are almost always 99%. So what we found is that it is some sort of farm debris, dirt, or whatever that's just every now and then getting blown into the open channels, and it's sometimes we catch it, and we think we found that that's probably the most likely cause because we cannot justify it anywhere coming through the plant. So if it was literally wastewater, it'd be more consistent, right? Because Discovery Bay's got a consistent flow. Y'all see the numbers every month. It doesn't really change. We don't have industry to upset us like that. And literally, that is there's three samples taken a week, one on Monday, one on Tuesday, one on Wednesday. Monday's non-detect. Tuesday was 350. Wednesday's non-detect. It's impossible to go from non-detect to that high to a non-detect without changing or altering the system. Right? That's why we know it's not representative of the wastewater coming through the plant to the river. So we're going to push that with the state. We may not get much leeway, but we've got a little bit better evidence than we had before. So
is it naturally occurring as well, though, coliform?
Coliform is in everything, absolutely. If you fart or sneeze or, it's coliform, right? So, of course, that's wastewater, so we're typically more worried about fecal, but we don't have a fecal problem. However, the wastewater technically is considered Title 22, even though we don't issue it to anybody, it's just at the plant itself. That's why we have such a strict 2.2, 7-day average. Keep in mind, the number for non-detect is 1.8. That's nothing. So 2.2, literally, you have anything, you're going to fail. In this case, 350 is high. That's not really high for a typical coliform thing, but it is for us. So that's why we're pushing back on that. But I didn't, I don't want to hide anything. That's what you got. Right? But we're working with the town to make sure, hey, can we do anything to stop this from blowing over onto the plant, right. In the past, we've seen that once or twice a year. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't been worth building an infrastructure over that, right? Now, we're starting to see it a little bit more. What we think is happening is, if y'all have noticed that fermentation pile we've had hell out of the last few years is almost gone. Mm-hmm. And when this sample actually hit, and the last month's samples actually hit, they're almost at the bottom of it and it stayed uncovered for a little while. That's where the worst of the fermentation and yeast and things like that is at the bottom. We think that's probably what got blown over, and that would make a 350 exceedance. So that's what evidence is telling us right now. Yep. Next slide. So that's how smooth your wastewater plant's running. So again, we can't show that we've got upsets or anything like that, no overflow. So we're pretty consistent. On the next slide, no wastewater overflows. No, we have not started hauling biosolids yet. We did get it sampled. All the solids came back good. We will start hauling probably as soon as hopefully before the rain starts hitting us, so we don't have to re-dry. But we will start seeing the biosolids hauling probably this month. And then lift station cleanouts were almost done, about 60%. SL rat, we're going to try to get to as soon as the weather breaks a little bit better. And we're almost done with painting. So Any questions? You had a question.
I have a question. I'm being asked, and I'm not part of the water committee, so I'm going to defer to you so that it's on the record, so that I can refer people that ask me in the future about this, that they can listen to this tape if they like. But there's the pipeline project that is going on. There's some confusion that may be tied to the apartment building and the infrastructure for that. And so while I, you know, have tried to communicate that that's not the case, I'm not able to articulate as well as you are what that pipeline project entails. So if you could give just a little bit of detail on that.
Let me be clear. I can help answer, but let me be clear. I'm speaking as Violet. And as the system operates and why we're putting a pipe in, how the town chooses to do that is you would need to direct that to Dina or Aaron. But what the purpose is for that pipe has nothing to do with that build. That is, we would need that whether we stayed exactly the way we are and never grew another inch or not. It's about the ability to be able to use both water systems and to move the water from one plant when we're maintaining another that we can't do right now. The reason that y'all see in the past, if you look at the numbers, especially last year before we had the filter, you can see that Newport outpaces Willow every year, especially through peak, because there's higher demand on that side of town. There's more usage, even though the older side of town is bigger, the water tanks at the Willow plant is bigger. We've got to make sure we don't hold too much water there too long. It becomes stagnant. It has to stay healthy. We also have to have enough for fire flows. So that pipeline is just as much about us moving water from either plant to the other side of town, no matter which one's on. It's also about helping us when Well 8 comes online. Well 8 is going to be literally a stone throw from Newport Water Treatment Plant, and it's about making essentially what is considered three water treatment plants to be able to run the entire public water system, no matter which two you have running or which three you have running, right? That's what it's for. So any extra bonus that comes off of that, whether it be growth or something like that, that would probably help sustain growth, but that is not the only factor. There's a lot of other factors that the city and the town and the engineers have to work through. And I would defer that to Dina.
You know. And it's, it's replacing the current 8-inch pipe for a 12-inch pipe.
Yeah, so distribution pipe, if you think of distribution pipes and roads, wherever you see a road, you see a distribution pipe. That's how water flows from our two treatment plants. Now, as the gentleman here was speaking earlier, there's one way in and one way out of Discovery Bay. That's kind of the same with the waste, or that's kind of the same for the water pipes. The water pipes have to go pretty much all the way south down to Clipper, go then west, and then all the way back towards north to the lakes. So let's say we have a well, for example, go down on the west side where Newport Water Treatment Plant is. During the summer, Willow would have to provide the water for the lakes and lakeshore. That's going to bring your total flow down, especially during peak demand. Fire departments, you're not going to have the fire suppression in your sprinklers for the homes. So this is really just to strengthen and give a backbone between the two plants so we can have one true distribution system and two plants. You can have primary, secondary. That's the goal.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Anthony. Manager's report. Monica?
Just a brief update for you on the Cornell Park bathrooms. We had those closed, the set near the barbecue area, because of the sand and the concrete that had, when it had been vandalized a few years ago. And we've just consistently, every time someone uses it and flushes it, it backs up. We've had to close it. We were told by professional plumbers repeatedly every time they came out that was in the system, the pipes, and that's why that kept happening. But I'm just so proud that our maintenance employee, Keith, kind of took the initiative. We had an issue on the set on the other side, and he, you know, without even being asked, he just took the initiative to go check out the other set of bathrooms and discovered that the pressure tank in between, in the kind of the there's a closet in between the two rest sets of men's and women's side, and that tank actually wasn't working. So it wasn't providing the pressure that's needed for the toilet to flush, for the waste to go down. So he came to me and said, this is what I think it is. And it was about $1,000 fix, which is amazing. And we've had those opened a couple of weeks now. And just everybody do that for me. Just please. So those have been open. So we're I'm just really proud of Keith. So I want to give a shout out to Keith Denny for taking that initiative and caring enough to do a deeper dive, even though he's not a professional plumber, but he figured it out. So yeah, so we're happy to let you know that.
So it sounds like we need to call those professional plumbers up and ask for our money back.
Well, yeah. I wish we could.
That's awesome. That's like Keith know that. It's fantastic.
Okay, and with that, let's go to director report. I just have something quick. Hopefully the board members, you've all received the email about the Thursday, October 20th chamber mixer that's going to be held at Brownstone Gardens. There we go. And they've asked for someone from the town to come and speak. It's a chamber mixer with Oakley, Discovery Bay, Antioch, and Brentwood. And there will be a chamber, the president of each chamber will be speaking along with the mayor or whoever. So is anyone available Thursday, October 30th at 5:30? You'd be speaking for 3 minutes. Is anyone available to go to speak on?
I'm available, Carolyn, if you need me. What time is it at?
Thursday, October 30th at 5:30.
Yeah, if no one else is available, I'm available.
Right? You want
to? But this is the Scarab Bay Chamber, or what chamber is it?
Yeah, it's all the chambers are getting together and doing this together.
I don't have to do it. I mean, if someone else wants to do it, I'm.
I go to them every month anyways.
I'm available.
Okay, so Ashley, that would be wonderful. Thank you so much. I would do it, but we've got a company in town and I didn't want to have to dazzle them with me coming to watch me speak. So thank you so much. Greatly appreciate it.
You are and, so...
Yeah, Stephen can work with you on some bullet points, things you might want to mention.
Okay, no problem. I'll reach out to him.
Wonderful. And with that, any future agenda items? Okay, we are now going to go into a closed session. And before we do that, is there any public comment about anything that is not on the agenda? Is there anyone raising their hand?
No, there are not.
Is there anyone in the room that would like to make some public comment? And with that, we will close and go to the closed session, and we will be back shortly.